Good evening. Welcome to our Sunday evening service here on the 5th of April, 2020, as we continue our journey through the book of Job. What a blessing this book has been. We saw Job face amazing trials. The Lord allowed the devil to take away his health, his family, his living. And Job said, "The Lord gave and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And then his friends came and began to accuse him of being the reason for the suffering, because they all, in a different way, believed the doctrine of prosperity theology, that if we will obey, our lives will be wonderful and no trials, and if we disobey, the opposite will be true. And of course, as we're learning from Job, that is not the case. Job was, the Bible says, a good man, and the most righteous man on the earth, the Bible even says. So in the midst of the suffering, Job was honest. And said he didn't understand, but he was going to trust the Lord. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." He said, "He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." This is Job declaring his trust in the Lord. In the midst of all that, as his four friends put forth their doctrine and their supposed reasons for Job's suffering, they were wrong. Thankfully, we are finished with Elihu's sixth chapter discourse. And tonight, we hear the Lord Himself respond to the whole crowd. And that brings us to Job chapter 38. So if you want to turn there in your Bibles, Job chapter 38, and we're going to look tonight at Job 38 and Job 39, and see the Lord respond to Job's friends and ask a very important question. So notice Job chapter 38, beginning in verse 1. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." Now we're going to walk through these chapters together, but the title comes from this passage, and the title is, "Where Wast Thou?" So I know this will be a blessing to you tonight. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for your wisdom, for your guidance, for the Holy Spirit to use your word in our hearts as we look in Job this evening, as we want to glorify you. Lord, lift up you and your word. We just want to please you and continue to learn from this amazing book. So thank you for this opportunity. May you bless every person that hears this message. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So notice, God here is going to essentially magnify himself, and that's okay, because he's God. And notice that he is going to emphasize many things about himself in this chapter. He's going to start here in verse 3 by emphasizing the fact that he is the creator. Notice he says, starting verse 4, actually, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare now, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it?" So we see here that the Lord made the earth. Verse 6, "Whereupon are the foundations thereof fast under? Who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." "Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and brake up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed." So the Lord says he made the earth, and the Lord made the seas, the Lord made the clouds, he said. And verse 11, "Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place?" So here the Lord is saying that he made the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars. He even knows the constellations. If you look over in verse 31, he says, "Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sun?" So these are different groups of stars. God's saying he made the heavens, the clouds, the earth, and the sea. He goes on to say, where was I? Verse 13, "That it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it. It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment, and from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arms shall be broken. So we see here in verse 16, hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in the depth of the sea? So in verses 3 to 16, God is making it very clear that He is the Creator, that He made the earth, the seas, the clouds, the heavens. He even talks about verse 22, hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Who made the snow? Who made the idea of snow? And when it says treasures of the snow, we now know through microscopes that each snowflake is very unique. Only God could do that. But then he talks about in verse 36, who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding to the heart? God even made man and gave us the unique wisdom and understanding that only man has. He talks about how he even created the animals, verse 39. Notice he says, wilt thou hunt the prey for the lion, or fulfill the appetite of the young lions, when they couch in their dens and abide in the covert to lie in wait? Who provideth for the raven his food, when his young ones cry unto God? They wander for lack of meat. So the Lord created the earth, the seas, the clouds, the heavens, the uniqueness of the snowflakes. The Lord created man, and the Lord created the animals. And of course, Jesus emphasized this, didn't he, in the New Testament, in Matthew 6, when he said, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they weep, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. So the first thing that God's emphasizing to Job and his friends, especially his friends, is, gentlemen, I am the Creator, and you aren't. I am the one that made everything, and you are not. And so, therefore, I am the one who has all the wisdom, and I am the one who sets the rules. And that's what he emphasizes next, is not only that he's the Creator, but that he is sovereign over his creation. And this is very important for us as Christians to understand and believe, is that God not only made everything, but that God controls everything. You know, a lot of people have this attitude that God just made the world and then just walked away and let it do its own thing. No, God is sovereign. God is in control. And he even controls life and death. Look at verse 17 of chapter 38. Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? No one controls life and death except God. If you go over to Revelation 1 and verse 18, we'll see that Jesus Christ emphasized this great truth as well. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. Notice Jesus says here in Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead. I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Only God holds the keys of hell and death. Again, emphasizing his sovereignty. Back to chapter 38. He also then, in emphasizing his sovereignty, talks about how he controls the weather. In verse 25, who hath divided a watercourse for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man? So again, he's talking about how he controls the weather. Verse 28, hath the rain a father, who hath begotten the drops of dew? So God even made the raindrops. 29, out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? So here he's talking about the ice and the hail and the frost. Verse 30, the waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. So the Lord is sovereign. He is sovereign over over life and death. He is sovereign over the weather. Notice down in verse 34, canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that the abundance of waters may cover thee? Canst thou send lightnings, that they may go and say unto thee, here we are? He's saying to these men, can you guys control the weather? Can you guys control the animals? No. Can you control life and death? No. So who are you to try to put forth all these words that you claim are wisdom and true when they're not? And of course, Jesus displayed this. Not only did he talk about having the keys of hell and death, but he displayed his control over the weather as well when he calmed the storm. Remember, multiple times he would calm a storm. And then God even talks about light. Notice back in chapter 38, verse 19, where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof, that thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the paths to the house thereof? Well, we know that Bible says God is light, and therefore God controls the light and the darkness and created it. And 1 John 1:5 says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So God is emphasizing to these men before he rebukes them, number one, he's the creator. Number two, he is sovereign over his creation. But then he emphasizes his own eternality and self-existence. Notice down in verse 21, "Knowest thou it because thou wast born, or because the numbers of thy days is great?" In other words, how long have you been around? We know how long God's been around. Go to Psalm 90 and verse 2, and we'll see. Psalm 90, verse 2, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." God has always been. And our days are very short compared to God's. So if God made everything, if God controls everything, and if God has always been, what is he saying to man? We have nothing to fear. We have no room to complain. And we need to be careful that our wisdom only comes from him, and that we are only glorifying and serving him. And this is important, because knowing these great facts about the Lord, which is how God started off in his discourse to these men, should impact how we behave and serve the Lord. You go to Daniel chapter 5, and I want to show you from Daniel's life how he, again, took these great truths about God's power, God's creation, God's sovereignty, God's eternality and self-existence, and asked a question, and this is very important. verse 23 of Daniel 5, "But hast thou lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven? And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is." So here God is, through Daniel, rebuking Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son. And he says, "The God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways." Think about what he's saying there. God actually is even in control of every breath that we take, and in control of all of our ways. Knowing these things are true as Christians, this should be a blessing to us. This should be an encouragement to us to know that God is in control. That God made everything, God controls everything, God watches everything, God knows everything. But it should also remind us how important it is that we serve the Lord with all that we are. So here in chapter 38 of Job, God stops to rebuke these men. And his way of initially rebuking these men is to lift up himself as the creator, as the sovereign, as the eternal self-existent one. And he goes on over in chapter 39 to emphasize these things some more. And let's just look at some great scriptures together, if we could, over in chapter 39. Chapter 38 still. Verse 4, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth?" That's a great question. Verse 6, "Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened?" Well, we don't know, but God does. Verse 7, "When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." By the way, great verse. And if we're going to be consistent about the phrase "sons of God" in the Old Testament, then this has to be referring to angels. He mentions in verse 16 the springs of the sea. Notice he says there, "Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea?" Well, we've recently discovered that sure enough there are springs even in the bottom of the ocean. In verse 17, he talks about the gates of death and the doors of the shadow of death. Only God controls these things. And he talks about the traveling of light. You know, verse 19, where is the way where light dwelleth? Verse 21 talks about how long God lasts and the uniqueness of snowflakes again in verse 22. And then he mentioned the stars there and the animals and so forth. So what a blessing. Now, God continues this over in chapter 39, and that's where I meant to go earlier. I just want to point out some other things he mentions here in chapter 39. "Knowest thou the time when the wild goat to the rock bring forth, or canst thou mark when the hinds do calve?" isn't it amazing that God, not only does he count the hairs on our head, but he even knows everything about every animal, when the hinds are going to calve and when the goats are going to bring forth. It's just amazing. In verse 5, he says, "Who hath sent out the wild ass free?" God says it was him. Or he mentions other things about his creation that are quite unique. Notice verse 13. "Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich?" So God here is saying, look what I made. I made peacocks. I made ostriches. Did you make those things? No. And he talks about how the ostrich there in verse 15, "Forget it that thy foot may crush them." Sure enough, people have talked about how ostriches aren't super bright, and they bury their eggs, and they can be stepped on and broken. God made them that way. Because he says in verse 17, God hath deprived her of wisdom. God intentionally made an ostrich kind of dumb. Verse 19, "Who gave the horse strength?" God. Verse 19, "Hast thou given the horse strength?" So what is God trying to get across to these men? And what can we take away from these two chapters? And take the time to read through just these two chapters and see for yourself how God is using his creation to lift up himself, but also to remind us who is control. Now, next week when we look in chapter 40 and 41, he's going to continue to talk about his creation. Here he's talked about how he made the earth and the sea and the clouds and the heavens and the snow and man and the animals. But then we're going to get to chapter 40 and 41, and God's actually going to pick two of his largest animals. Both of them appear to be dinosaurs, and use those again to teach us about his creative power. And after he finishes all of that, there in chapters 40 and 41, then he's going to speak specifically to these men about their wrong thinking and their wrong doctrine. But tonight, if we can take anything away from Job, it's that our God made everything. You know, we hear so much about evolution on the TV today, and yet God has made it very clear that he made it all. He even picked a couple of examples and said, "I'm the one that gave the ostrich limited wisdom. I'm the one that made her that way. I'm the one that made the earth and the seas the way they are. I'm the one that created clouds. I'm the one that made the sun and the moon and the stars. I'm the one that gave the uniqueness to the snowflakes. I'm the one that made man and gave him a soul and understanding and wisdom. I'm the one that made all these different animals. And I chose to make them the way I make them because I'm God and I can do that. I'm the one that's in control of life and death. I'm the one that's in control of the weather. I'm the one that understands light because I made light. And I'm the one that lives forever and I don't need anyone's help. I'm completely self-existent," which, by the way, is what the name Jehovah primarily means. So again, if we can be encouraged tonight, if God made everything, which he did, if God controls everything, which he does, and God has always been, which he has, what should that mean for us on a practical level? It means we should never fear, because the one who made and controls everything is on our side and we're his children. It means that we need to glorify and worship him and lift him up as our creator, as God. But it also means that God knows the end from the beginning, and that God has asked of us that we give all to him. The Bible says, "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's," in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. If God made us, God made us for a purpose. And that purpose is what? "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do," Colossians 3:23, "do all to the glory of God." That's why we're here. We are to bring glory to our great Creator, the great Sovereign One, the great self-existent and eternal One. We're here to please him. And that is what God is getting across here to these men. "Gentlemen, you're off base. I made all of you, and I made everything, and I am in control. Therefore, I allowed these trials to come upon Job. I have my purpose in it, and we're learning that purpose, not only to refine Job, but to teach us. And in the end, it's the same for us. Does God know why we're in a particular trial? Of course he does. Did he allow it? Of course he did. Does he have a plan? Yes. So be encouraged by the Lord himself as he lifts himself up to these men prior to rebuking them, and by the way, that rebuke will happen in chapter 42, be encouraged and realize that the God that you trusted as your Savior is the God that made everything and controls everything. Therefore, there are no surprises. You know, the Bible says, many of the afflictions are the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. My friend, if you have an affliction right now, God knows about it. God planned it. You can trust and believe that with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love Him. Serve Him. Give Him your all. And most of all, lift Him up and worship Him. Take some time every day to just remind God how wonderful and powerful He is. And, you know, start off each of your prayer time with Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and blessing and power and wisdom and riches and strength and thanksgiving and might and salvation. Just lift Him up, because He's worthy of being lifted up. And He's taking the time to share that with these men prior to rebuking them. Gentlemen, I am God. I made it all. I control it all. I've always been. And I set the rules. So there's only one place we're going to find true wisdom. And that is not from man's ideas. It's not from our dreams. It's not from our thoughts or experiences. It's from God, the one who is the ever-existent, all-powerful, all-knowing one, God Himself. So as God asks the question of these men, where wast thou? The answer is, we weren't around, but He always has been. Be encouraged by that. And the Lord bless you. So thank you for joining us this evening. We'll close in a word of prayer and be dismissed. Lord, thank you again for these beautiful